Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast with Ken Williams. Each week, we dig deeper and discover the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining in and enjoy this week's conversation. And we're back. We're back with Brett, just as I promised. It actually happened the way that I imagined in my head. So Brett is back.
Stoked to be here.
It's super exciting that you live 5 miles from, or five, not even 5 miles from my house.
Yeah.
It's probably a 5 minute or less drive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Super close.
Because it's amazing. Because when we agree on a time, it's like in that second. So Brett and I were talking a little bit ago, and I love having conversations with you.
Likewise.
Anytime. But we had a few weeks ago, we had this conversation on the podcast about It Is Done and approaching faith with the kind of certainty that having faith that something's going to happen is good enough, that it's going to happen. And I'm not explaining it well, but because we're close to the end of the year, and for me, for a lot of people, New Year's resolutions are on the horizon. I just was wondering, what if we were to think about our New Year's resolutions with that kind of a mindset that it's done? And so I'm not naive enough to think that we don't have to do anything, but I'm just wondering, how could that play into our planning? Is it something that would affect how we plan what we want to achieve or become for the year, for 2025? Run with it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a super good question, because a point that you brought up when we talked before, you were basically making the point about, are we limiting God mm-hmm. by not asking for enough, basically?
Right.
By not having enough faith to dream big, you know, are we limiting not only our own potential, but like the things that God can give us,
right?
And so when you pose the question about looking at your New Year's resolutions from that perspective, I thought that was brilliant, because I think a lot of the times we look at our goal setting mm-hmm. from a very limited place of, realistically, I can probably only achieve this many things, right?
Right.
It's kind of like when I was in high school, I was not very driven toward math. That was like one of my big pitfalls for high school. It just didn't make sense to me. I didn't enjoy it. And I saw like a meme about it a while ago. It said it was basically like me conveniently plans entire life around not having to do math, right? And it's kind of funny though, because could I get good at math? Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. And that could probably open some horizons. Sure. But looking at myself from that limited place of, I'm not good at math, and therefore I'm not going to be good at math, and that's like a weakness that I have. There's a fence, there's a limit.
Right.
You know? And so I think when we're looking at our goal setting, if we look at ourselves through kind of that limited scope of, I can probably only do this much, you know? But if you look at it from, it's done, you know? And that Heavenly Father, I think, is so much more giving than we would ever give him credit for.
Right.
When we ask for things, looking at it from that place of faith, you know, who knows what we can achieve in that year.
Right. Yeah. Last week we talked with Annette about the scope of the atonement and how it's much more, I think the word she used was generous. The atonement is much more generous than we imagine. Mm-hmm. That it will be. And so the question that comes to my mind, because we're natural men and women, what role does humility play in this idea of setting, and I've got a couple of other things that I would love to explore, but so when we think about setting these outrageous goals, not just having incremental improvements. And just to kind of set the stage there, I've made it very clear that I hate SMART goals. In fact, a couple of days ago, I was for something else. I was just exploring where does SMART goals come from. It was 1981, so it's not that long ago. And it was a guy who was consulting businesses, and businesses were not setting goals that were actionable. And so his original acronym was specific. So we got that one. Measurable makes sense. The A though was assignable. So his observation was that businesses should be setting goals that were assignable, something that somebody could have stewardship for or responsibility for. Mm-hmm. And then the R was realistic. A lot of times we say attainable and realistic, which really is essentially the same thing. But so this just goes into my hatred of SMART goals, that it wasn't even for, it's like feeding your family dog food. It's great for a dog. SMART goals, great for a business. In fact, they added ER, smarter goals, and the E and R were both having to do with like reflecting and adjusting, modifying. I don't remember what they were now, but because I have this mental block about SMART goals. But this idea of attainable is, or realistic is, well, the last time I tried to read the Book of Mormon, I did one chapter a day. So this time I'm going to do a chapter and a verse a day. That's not a great example, but we take these incremental improvements and imagine that that's going to be enough. And if that's our approach, there's no way we're going to be able to have these big improvements, these grand blessings that we could have access to if we would just ask. And so where do we put, and I'll put in air quotes, humility, because we're supposed to be humble. And I think we don't really understand what that means, but
right.
How do you maintain humility while asking for access to the blessings that God is already willing to give us?
I think for me, kind of the way that I have framed that, because I think, and we've talked about this a little bit, that was a little bit of a hill that I had to get over, mm-hmm. was the humility hill of like, oh, I shouldn't ask for things because right. I'm just this lowly, imperfect man, you right. know? But the way I look at it is when I think by coming and asking for something, mm-hmm. I think in a way that is demonstrating some humility of being able to actually go, you know, say a prayer, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to come to you and say, here's some things that I would like to happen in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have faith in you. And I know that it's already done because I know you love me. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, so much of it is like putting that ball in his court. Uh-huh. And then kind of having the humility to say, to kind of step back and say, you know, come what may, what's done is done. And then like, I think a big part of it is trying not to control it.
Okay.
Once you ask it to, and we were talking in Sunday school 2 weeks ago. And one point that I brought up was, it's been interesting because now that I've started asking for things this way, mm-hmm. of like, hey, here's something that I want.
Right.
I know that it's done. Mm-hmm. In the first place, sometimes when I ask for those things, I've been pondering them for a while.
Okay.
And I'll kind of have this image come to my head and it just kind of feels right. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of the times the things that we're asking for, he's probably giving us anyway.
Right.
Like he's giving us the idea, hey, here's something that could be cool for you that you would like, you know? But one thing that I've seen is that once I ask for it and say, I know it's done, and then just kind of let go, be humble, say, you know what, like, however this comes, I'm just going to roll with it. I know it's done, and I'm going to go about my day and not worry.
Right.
So I think a part of that is kind of having the humility to be able to kind of step away, you know, almost kind of delegate that away from yourself and say, mm-hmm. I know it's taken care of. But what's cool about it is once I've done that in my own life, after I kind of meet that point of acceptance, that's when the little ideas start popping up in my head of, oh, hey, have you thought about doing this? And I find I get these little rungs on the ladder kind of handed to me of, hey, here's one thing you should think about. And these little nudges that I get kind of push me toward that goal.
Right.
So, yeah, I think being humble enough to ask and then being humble enough to accept and not control.
Right. Because I think receiving requires some humility as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think we may have talked about it before. I remember having this conversation, and I think it was with you, about how a lot of time it is really easy to assume pride is a financial thing. That mm-hmm. it's the rich people, they have pride, and the poor people don't. But I remember at a point in my life where I was really struggling financially, the pride that that accompanied that, because that was my identity, and giving up that identity was I didn't like it, because what might I lose if I give up this identity of poverty? Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing. The other thing, because I was going to bring up the fact that you can't, you know, I think about years ago when the movie The Secret came out, and the message that some people seem to get was, you just imagine, you ask the universe, and then it will just come to you. You can sit and watch Netflix all day. And that's not how it works.
Right. Yeah.
Scriptures say faith without works is dead. But I also think that we misunderstand what the works need to be. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, going back to the way that I was taught to set goals was that we had to have a plan. You have your long-range goal. My long-range goal is going to be, at the end of the year, I'm going to have whatever it is. I'm going to finish the marathon. I'm going to weigh this amount. I'm going to have this amount in my bank account, whatever. And then you set the mid-range goals that are going to lead to that. And then you have the short-term goals that are going to lead to your mid-range goal results. And yeah, that can work. But that also limits God. Mm-hmm. Because then we're still setting a goal based on what we know how to do. And so I like the idea that you're talking about asking for things, working towards things that you have no idea how you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just know it's done. It's going to happen. You may have a time frame in mind, but your time frame and God's time frame may not match up exactly. But also, it's the ideas that come to you. And if you don't act on those ideas, then I think we're kind of thumbing our nose at God that I'm not going to do anything towards this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's the one who gives. I think he gives us the idea of what we should ask for, and I think he gives us the ideas on what to do, mm-hmm. so that we can accomplish what we imagined. A year ago, I was talking to somebody who was we were talking about goals. And he asked me what I wanted. I wanted out of my job. I wanted out of FedEx. And I had an idea of what that had to look like. And he said, why haven't you quit yet? Well, because these things haven't lined up yet. And he said, all I got to do is quit. Then you have what you want. Well, then the question really is that what I really want? And it was what I really wanted. And the thing mm-hmm. that was interesting was, at the same time, there were some things shifting in the relationship that I had with my boss, and things got really tense. And it became clear that I was not going to survive if I stuck around. And I was not going to put myself in a position where I was going to let somebody else have the decision-making ability over my career. And so I took the leap, and I decided that it was nice working with you. I'm out. And that happened a lot faster than I expected. And when I made the decision, and the only thing that really changed was I made the decision that this is my last day. And we just passed the year mark. Yeah. I've been out for a year.
Mm, happy anniversary.
Yes. But so I think a couple of things that I took from what you said is, number one, follow the Spirit in asking big, and then act on the impressions that you get. And I would imagine sometimes those mm-hmm. impressions don't necessarily line up in your mind how it's going to play out, but acting. I think acting is, that's going to be a requirement for us to be able to even get the next step.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because I think we've mentioned this before too. I think it can be a little bit scary to look at the acting part of it, uh-huh. because it's like, oh, I really don't want to mess this up. You know, I want to make sure I don't
right.
miss the spiritual impression of what to do.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes with this kind of thing, like just the faith that, oh, it's just going to work out,
mm-hmm.
often does a lot of the work for us.
Yeah.
Like in my own experience, I've seen that, like, there's been certain progression points in my life that there's no way I could have planned it, but it just worked out so nicely. And right. I said this before, that I couldn't have messed it up.
Yeah.
And there was a couple little things I needed to do to mm-hmm. kind of get the train rolling. But once the train was rolling, it was weird. It was almost like once I kind of found, I guess, like the right river to get into, right? To take my boat, put it in the right current.
Mm-hmm.
Once I found the current, it was just, okay, take me where you're going to go, you know? Yeah. And then, like you said, you know, just maintaining that faith until, you know, like the proper timing comes along and the proper opportunity comes along. And like when we moved out here, I might have shared this story already, but we were just not making it where we were.
Right.
Like I could not see a path forward for myself
mm-hmm.
in a way that made sense. And so I started approaching it from this mindset of, oh, you know what? It's already done. It's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Those little nudges started happening. And the first one I had was, hey, you should go talk to your dad about this.
Okay.
And so went, talked to him. He gave me a blessing. And in the blessing, it said, you should go read the scriptures to find an answer. And then I read the scriptures. And then from the scriptures, I got an impression that prepared me for the next step. And then, boom, my whole life is upside down a year later, you know? So it's really interesting because, yeah, sometimes there's little steps we need to take and little actions we take. And then sometimes it's just having faith and watching things unfold and not getting in your own way and allowing it to happen.
Right.
That can really just kind of set the course for everything else.
One of the things that I think that has been a stumbling block for me, I don't know what else to call it, but I imagine that nothing's going to change.
Yeah, we get that kind of permanence.
Yeah, I imagine that I'm the only one who can have an impact on the situation. And so if I don't do certain things, then nothing's going to happen. And I completely forget about the fact that other people have agency
mm-hmm.
and other people may be getting promptings. And there may be situations that just pop up that end up being the right opportunity, right person, right place, whatever, that everything aligns. And it's like we were talking in Elders Quorum a couple weeks ago with our Christmas Jeopardy. John Ogden made a comment about how intricate the planning was. Hundreds, I don't even know how long, for the star to be placed in the heavens and at the right position, the right time, so that the light would hit the earth at the moment that it needed to hit the earth. And it's, so I think there are things like that, that totally out of our control, totally out of our awareness,
mm-hmm.
that things line up. And it's, for me, it's a good reminder because it's so easy for me to think that I'm in control.
Right.
And I'm not. I'm not in as much. And I think that's a good thing. I think if I were in control, I'd be in sad shape.
Mm-hmm.
But realizing that I can put on God, my dad's favorite scripture was Alma 37:37, counsel with the Lord in all thy doings. And I struggled. I didn't really understand what that meant. I probably still don't understand what it really means. But I think he wants us to share with him what we're what's on our mind, what we're doing, what our thought process is. And then he can help us adjust and help us realize that, oh, maybe I can focus on something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that really plays into kind of the humility aspect of the whole thing too, of like recognizing who's setting all this up,
right?
You know, and I mean, we get to be lucky enough to be the beneficiaries of these blessings that we're given.
Yeah.
But remembering that, you know, this is all working out because Heavenly Father loves me, you know, because of Christ's atonement, you know,
right.
Even though I'm making mistakes and I'm confused, like chicken with my head cut off, you know, running around, just trying to sort out this whole thing. Being humble enough to say, you know, like, I don't really know what the answer is always, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know that the guy that's in charge has it, you know, and that he's got me. And I think being able to humble ourselves and kind of step back and say, you know, like, this isn't something I have to do by myself. And it's not my power that's going to get this done.
Right.
It's his power. And I think just being gracious enough to accept that.
I like that. So I've got a question for you. And I'm thinking about, what does this all mean? And what do we do with it? And next week I'm going to share my, I call it my New Year's Eve tradition, which I've done exactly one time, but it's going to be a tradition. So we'll talk about that, which is it kind of tied to goal setting, but it's not really what we're talking about here. So my question is, if you want to set a New Year's resolution, which let's just suppose, is to make us better aligned with who God wants us to be, thinks we can be, and all the good stuff. And let's just assume that we're not going to limit ourselves that, okay, well, I read the scriptures 300 days last year, so I'm going to I think I can do 25% better. We're not going to deal in marginal increases. How would you go about setting a goal or setting a New Year's resolution with this idea that it is done for any area? What areas of your life would you consider? And then how would you go about setting the goal?
Yeah, so it's funny because that's kind of the journey that I'm on right now. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting because of these things that, you know, we've been talking about and that I've been trying to kind of study on my own. Like, it's given me like a new perspective of the possibilities, right? And so the kind of first step in my own journey, the kind of feeling I've been getting is I need to get to know myself a little better.
Interesting.
Because, man, what do I actually want?
Right.
You know, because I think a lot of the decisions that I've made in my life have come from a place of convenience, you know, like math is inconvenient. So my goals are not going to include that. Right. Yeah. But if I can kind of take those limiters off of myself, like, what do I actually want, you know? And so we talked a minute ago about kind of finding, I call them your core goals. Mm-hmm. So I worked on developing my own core goals this week of, okay, what are Brett's real motivating factors every day? What things am I pursuing with the different actions that I'm taking? And, you know, eventually, where do I want that to lead for myself? Mm-hmm. So I think that's, at least for me, that's been step one is, you know, since I don't have to limit myself, and because I have a loving Heavenly Father that wants me to have the things that I want, what do I really want? You know? So I think stopping and asking that is really valuable.
And how do you think about the idea that going after what you want is selfish and you shouldn't go after what you want? You should be altruistic. You should be service-minded. You should be focused on others, charitable, all the things.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was that said this, but It was something along the lines of, it's not only good to go after the things that you want, but you have a duty to go after the things that you want. I don't know if you've ever heard of the musician Jacob Collier.
Yeah, I think so.
He's like today's Mozart. He's absolutely ridiculous with what he's able to do with music. You know, he can tap 30 beats per minute on his left hand and 31 beats per minute on his right hand. His brain just is on a totally different level.
Yeah.
And he said something that I thought was really interesting, that basically everybody's got their own music. Uh-huh. And the moment you start trying to be like somebody else is the moment that basically the world loses a gift, because if you're not singing your own song, then you're the only one that can sing your song.
Right.
And so if you're not singing your song and you're trying to sing someone else's song, then the world loses your song.
Yeah.
And so I think we've all been made to be extremely unique. Mm-hmm. And I think we all have really valuable perspective and really valuable potential and basically gifts that we can give. Mm-hmm. And if we're not in line with that and, you know, pursuing the things that we actually want, where we can be our most true selves, you know, I think that we not only rob ourselves of our potential, but we potentially rob others of our own potential.
Yeah. So if you don't know what you want, if you don't know what your gifts are, how do you discover that?
That is a battle that I am right in the middle of. It's tough, honestly. I mean, I feel like some people, you kind of know what you want right out of the gate, and then others, it's kind of tough to figure it out. I will say following those impressions, mm-hmm, and following those nudges of, and just kind of listening sometimes has been really valuable for me. And that kind of helps. I think that's helped some ideas come into my mind when it comes to finding out, hey, what does Brett actually want? You know?
Yeah.
So I think having that relationship, because I think if we're getting to know, you know, Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, then I think we can also get to know ourselves that way.
Yeah.
But I'm also constantly kind of on this journey, every source that I can find of, you know, self-discovery and all that stuff. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey for myself.
Yeah. It's for me as well. It's been an interesting journey, because I think that, there are things in United States culture, in Christian culture, and in Latter-day Saint culture that fight against those things. So some things that I've done that have worked, and so I'll just throw them out. You can take them or leave them, I guess.
Totally.
But there's a question that I asked, and this is a question that came to me as I was teaching a lesson. And if a question comes to me as I'm teaching a lesson, then I recognize this is not something that I came up with on my own. So I was teaching a group about gifts of the Spirit. And in the scriptures, we talk about gifts of the Spirit being things like the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of revelation, the gift of testimony. And those are all fantastic gifts. But I think that anything that we can do that's going to build the kingdom of God is a gift of the Spirit. And we all have, like you were talking about with the music, we all have that music in us. So whatever the music, quote, looks like. And the problem with it is that because we're naturally good at it, we don't recognize that there's anything special about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it is really challenging sometimes to, I've talked to a lot of people about what they're good at. They say, yeah, but isn't everybody good at that? No. Like math, right. For example, if you're talking to my son, Brendan, who's gifted with math, in his mind, I don't understand what's so hard about this. I don't understand why you can't grasp these simple concepts. And it's just so simple to him that it's a gift that he doesn't necessarily see as a gift. And I think we all have that with whatever it is. And so a powerful exercise that you can use that will, and I've shared this with several people, ask somebody who knows you well. And this would be a spouse. It would be a parent. It could be a teacher. It could be a sibling, somebody who knows you well. And you're going to ask them, what am I good at that I don't recognize I'm good at? And you'll hear things. And you may hear things that you know you're good at. I have a brother who's extremely talented, an extremely talented vocalist. And he knows he's talented. He's in the Tabernacle Choir. He's been in musicals and things like that. So he knows it. But there are other things. My mom, as an example, is, and she may listen to this, so I've got to be careful what I say. My mom is, and I'm trying to think of the words that I've used before. She is fiercely loyal to people. And I think she just assumes that that's normal. Isn't everybody? No, not everybody is fiercely loyal. And whether that's to a person or to the gospel or to her testimony, et cetera. And so ask somebody what they see in you. I did this with somebody that I worked with, and we'd only been working together for a few weeks. And so, just for fun, I said, hey, I'm going to be doing this presentation. I just am curious, what do you see in me that I'm good at that I probably don't recognize? And she told me a couple of things. And the thing that's interesting, I'll mention it because I'll mention what she said. But this false humility that we have, this idea that we're supposed to be self-deprecating, which prevents us from expressing our talents. And she said, you're really good at connecting with people. And the first time I heard that, I'd heard this before from somebody else, and I've heard it from enough people that I've decided it's true. So...
Most definitely.
As an introvert, I don't always want to connect with people, but I can do it. So there are some things that I recognize in myself that I'm good at. But you can discover things, and so look for the surprise. Somebody's going to tell you something that you didn't expect. You'll hear the things that you expect. Yeah, I'm good at whatever. I'm good at baking. I'm good at singing. I'm good at whatever. But then you'll hear something like, you're really good. One of the things that I heard is that people feel better about themselves when they're around you. Oh, what a great talent. And the power in that is not knowing that I have it. The power in that is because I know I have that, I can now do that on purpose. And so then not only am I doing it inadvertently, because a lot of times we're inadvertent in our talents, our gifts, because they're natural and it's just who we are. But now I can turn that on and I can do it on purpose and I can bless more lives in a deeper way. And that, I think, is one of the great benefits of knowing what our gifts are. I was talking to somebody about, you get somebody who's a great teacher, and teachers teach. And so I don't wait, for example, I don't wait for somebody to in the bishopric to call me up. Hey, Brother Williams, we'd like you to teach a class. No, if I'm in an interaction with somebody, I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity to teach if I can. And so when we turn those gifts on purpose, then we bless people's lives. And the, I'm going to go back to the olden days when we had Boy Scouts. One of the reasons that the Boy Scouts had merit badges, the reason that you had to get so many merit badges to get your Eagle Scout award or to advance to the different levels, is it gave you a chance to just try a bunch of stuff. And if you don't know what you're naturally gifted with, try a bunch of stuff. Maybe it's chocolate cake. Maybe it's cinnamon rolls. Maybe it's zucchini bread. Maybe it's, and it doesn't have to be food, but try a bunch of stuff. And Jeff French in the ward, for example, does sourdough bread. And the funny thing, it's not funny. This happens with all of us. He didn't start out good at it, but he found a love of it, and he found a kind of a knack for sharing amazing sourdough bread, and it's become a thing for him. And so we can all do that. And so I think what I'm saying is that we can take the things that you were talking about, these nudges that we get, these desires that we have, we can find out what we're naturally good at, and then lean into those things, and then turn it into something that is much bigger than we ever imagined that it could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting too, because I kind of have a history of self-doubt with stuff like that, right? Where it's like, oh, maybe I have an idea, but I was used to getting talked out of so many ideas that I began to talk myself out of all my ideas, right? And I heard something the other day that was talking about, hey, if you get one of those little nudges, like an idea, act on it immediately.
Right.
Like, don't give yourself time to talk yourself out of it. So, you know, if you're someone who is having a hard time, deciding what you want or finding things to try, if something pops into your head, just lock it in. And maybe even if I can't try it right now, okay, I'm going to give that a try.
Right.
And because sometimes those little impulses that we get can be really powerful and kind of pointing us in a really good direction.
Absolutely.
And then I think another trap that we fall into is not valuing our talents or not understanding how to value our talents.
And I think part of that is because of this false humility that if I value my talent, then I'm being proud.
Right. Yep. Or kind of like what you said with, like, oh, American culture, can I market this talent? Is this something people can pay me to do, right? And I know I've judged a lot of my interest and talents on that note of like, oh, I really like this thing, I'm good at this thing, but I don't think I'm ever going to make money doing this thing. And so I'm just going to kind of let that one slide, when in fact I'm robbing myself of that, because that could lead to something really cool.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, you know, we can also follow those nudges and ask for help in finding ways to, hey, you know, I have this thing, I think I'm good at it, how can I apply this?
Right.
You know, and I think we can also be guided that way. And it's kind of funny. I found a really interesting hack on how to come up with more of these things. You know, if you find that you're in a place of, hey, I need to get to know myself a little better. Maybe you're trying to put a big list of ideas together, or just, I don't know, get to know you. The advent of AI has actually been really useful for me doing that. So one thing that I do is I'll hop on ChatGPT and I'll just say, hey, I have an idea that I'm working on sorting out in my brain.
Right.
Could you ask me a series of questions one at a time that could kind of tease this idea out so I could figure it out?
I like that.
And it's like, oh, sure. And it does a great job of, okay, we'll start with this question. What do you think? You give a response, and then based on that, it fires out the next question. And then it can kind of compile all the info for you. And And so I was able to kind of put together like my kind of core goals that way. And I was amazed on just by having this robotic soundboard to kind of fire ideas back. Cause yeah, I think your question of asking other people, what am I good at? You know, even if you don't have somebody you could ask, I mean, now we have AI that we can go ask, and hey, maybe you could help me find some things that I'm good at by asking me some questions, because I'm having a hard time understanding it myself. So
yeah,
lots of tools.
Something that's interesting, and I don't know if I'll be able to find it right away, but if you go to AI, if you're a regular user of an AI, ChatGPT is the one that I use the most most frequently. You can ask your AI friend, ChatGPT, to identify your talents. And it is, like I said, I don't know if I'll find it, but it is incredible. So as you continue your next part, I may find which, because I think it was after that, but I'm using it to help me with my TEDx talk.
Yeah, it's a great assistant.
Yeah. So But the thing is, so here, I'm fascinated with the brain, with the way the brain works, and the brain filters out information that it thinks is irrelevant. And so mm-hmm. if something's easy, and this kind of goes to what you were talking about earlier, if something's easy, then we think that it's not worthwhile, mm-hmm. which is why, going back to what we kind of started with, setting the intention or setting the goal and then letting the ideas come seems like cheating, because we're not working hard. We're not trying hard enough. It's not difficult for us to accomplish something because the mm-hmm. ideas are just coming to us. And there's some I think this goes back to a cultural thing, that we've got these ideas or these expectations that things should be hard,
right,
to be valuable.
Yeah. So, it's a good yeah. point, and it's definitely a judgment that I've put on myself a lot in my own life of, oh, this should be more difficult, or yeah, I need to put more effort into it, when in fact I've found that my goals often work out a lot better when I do step back,
yeah.
you know, and just allow things to happen, you know, with the help of the Spirit. But
yeah, I wish I could find the exact prompt, but it was, so I use ChatGPT quite a bit with what I'm building in my business and my TEDx talk, which is about chocolate cake. And, but I found a prompt that it was basically, with everything you know about me, tell me some things that I'm good at that I'm not aware of. In fact, I'm just going to put that in just for fun. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious. I might do that myself. So, I'm chatting with it all the time. All of this
is due to... So while we're stalling on that, I want to maybe touch on one more thing, and that is how focused, or how, I don't know how I want to say it. Should we just be thinking about this one time a year? Should it be something that we're doing constantly? How often do you revisit your goals?
So for me, I'm an extraordinarily forgetful person. Okay. I'm very ADHD, like properly diagnosed. Yeah, I'm very all over the place. So I'm always learning new things. I'm always setting new goals. And I find that it's almost like I have just this waterfall of goals that, oh yeah, it comes up and it's exciting. And then it just kind of floats down the river, you know?
Yeah.
And so for myself, I've kind of had to get in the habit of putting my goals where they're going to be kind of in my consciousness, and I won't be able to let go of them. Mm-hmm. So one strategy that I use sometimes is I'll make like a phone wallpaper
okay.
on my phone. So yeah. whenever I unlock my phone, I can see, oh, hey, this goal, it's done, you know. Or I mentioned before, I have a journal in my desk at work where I have some goals written down, and I review them in the morning and at lunch. Mm-hmm. And I probably think about it a little differently than a lot of goal setters would traditionally, okay. because for me, what I try to do is just keep myself in the headspace of, oh, this is done and I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's still in my mind, but not in a place where I'm worrying or fretting or anything like that. And I know that I personally try to keep myself really like balanced. Mm-hmm. And if I start to allow myself to feel off balance, you know, like, okay, I have certain financial goals.
Right.
And if I start to feel kind of this anxiety or this imbalance creep in, that's mm-hmm. when I kind of pause and assess, okay, what do I need to do to get myself back to this place of faith of, hey, this is taken care of. And right. then I kind of follow it from there. But personally, I like to kind of keep mine where I'm aware of them, because yeah. I tend to forget. So,
I had a thought that I'm going to share, because, and it may not be fully formed. This is not scripted. So it may not be fully formed. And so I don't know how it's all going to come out. But before I do that, here's the prompt that I used. And I just made this up. It's not anything that I heard similar things from other people. Based on everything my prompt to ChatGPT, knowing everything you know and have determined about me, tell me a few things that I may be naturally good at that I may not be aware of. Mm. Now I'm reading this. There are five. Oh my goodness. There are 10 things. I only saw five. I won't read the detail of all of them, but I'll read the headlines. The 10 points. Number one, and then I'll tell you if I agree. I'll tell you also if I am surprised. Building connections through empathy. Okay, that's not a big surprise. Simplifying complex ideas. Okay, I don't know that I would have said it that way. I think I would have said I'm good at explaining things, or I'm good at describing things. I don't know that I would have considered the idea that I take complex ideas and simplify them. So that's good to know. Turning pain points into purpose. Ooh, that's powerful.
Ooh, that's really cool.
I had not thought really about specific. That as a coach, if I can help people turn their pain points into purpose, that's amazing. Number four, storytelling that inspires action. That's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Spotting patterns and opportunities. Now, I've seen that in myself where I spot patterns. I haven't thought about the opportunities. Ooh, here's another one. Creating structure in ambiguity.
Mm.
I like that. And for each of these, there's a sentence or two that explains, here's how I know that that's something you have a talent for. Inspiring action through encouragement. Okay?
Mm.
Which I do that, but I hadn't thought about the fact that I do that.
Right.
Or that anybody else would benefit that. Number eight, balancing practicality with aspiration. That's good. That fits a lot with what we're talking about right now, even.
Right, definitely.
Here's another one. I love this. I love it. Seeing hidden potential in others.
Mm.
Oh, how powerful is that? And as I show other people their potential, that's amazing. And number 10, I think I got them all. Strategic thinking with the human touch. That's amazing.
That's on the nose.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
To have that justified. I'm gonna try not to get too dense as you're, it looks like you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So I just had a realization as you were talking about the way that you're doing your goals, that before we started recording, Brett and I were talking about the fact that I have this theory that we don't pass through time, that time is something that passes through us. So stick with me for a minute. If time passes through us and the situation isn't necessarily changing, we're changing. We're changing, we're evolving, we're becoming. There's no past. There's a past that we can find evidence of, newspaper clippings and stuff like that. But we can't change the past. We can't alter the past. We can't alter the future, meaning we can't make, for example, tomorrow. I don't know what the weather is tomorrow, but if the forecast for tomorrow is 39 degrees and rain, I can't change that to be 58 degrees and sun. So I can't alter the future. I can only have time pass through me. And so if I think about goals a little bit differently, and I've been shifting towards this, and now this is becoming a bigger shift. What if the goal, the thing, the it is done thing that I'm praying about, what if that is irrelevant? What if that is just a target? That's just a direction. And just to throw something out there, let's just say weight, healthy weight, whatever that is, with a 24.9 BMI, which I know there's some argument about whether BMI is even a good assessment of weight. But let's just suppose I want a weight of 184 pounds, which is going to give me a 24.9% BMI. So that's my goal. For me to get to that goal, there are some things I need to change. I need to change my eating habits. I need to change my exercise habits. I need to change my maybe my sleep habits, which when I was working overnight, that was not contributing to that kind of healthy, quote, goal. So what if the payoff is what I become? That over time, whatever that time period is, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, I become this fit person that is healthier, is not suffering from the things that typically come with age or over excessive weight or et cetera. And the payoff, I said payoff, the payoff, really the gravy, the bonus is I have these numbers to prove it, but I'm just becoming that thing that I want to become. And that could be anything that, that we want. I'm becoming the kind of father that, finish the sentence however you want to finish it. I'm becoming the employee that, I'm becoming the ministering brother that does these things. And we're changing ourselves in the present. And sometimes it's an incremental change. And sometimes we can make significant changes. But as we change those things, and I'll give you a quick example. For the last couple of months, three months ish, not even that, I've been trying some things just to get my health closer on track to where I want it. And part of that is intermittent fasting. And the thing that's been really interesting, so my two, they're not hard and fast rules, but my two basics are I eat lunch and dinner, I'm not eating breakfast, and I'm not snacking. So the bucket that Sam's has of, I don't know, 500 Reese's peanut butter cups, I don't have any interest in that because I've made a decision that I eat lunch and dinner, no snacks. So if I bought that $52 or whatever, it's going to sit here and then Edison will eat it. I don't want to feed him that. But what I'm seeing with myself is what's interesting to me, what I want is changing. So when I go shopping, I'm not buying the bags of chips because I know I'm not going to eat them. And if I do, I'll have a few with a meal or whatever, but that doesn't interest me. I used to eat because I didn't want anybody else to eat my stuff. I would have, the candy bars, I'd hide them in the freezer so nobody would find them. And then I'd eat them because I didn't want anybody else to eat them. But now I eat them when I want them. And as long as it's with a meal, then I'm within the quote protocol that I've set. So I think that's a way that I'm thinking about goals newly, that what if I'm just kind of hypothesizing, what if I decide this is how I want to be? And a goal, I want to be fit. And a goal to get me to that end might be doing 100 pushups a day. I'm not there yet. Maybe the goal is to run 5 miles without stopping. Maybe the goal is to go to the gym 3 times a week. Whatever the goal is, and there are a lot of different ways that I can achieve the thing that I want to become. But I'm thinking maybe I'll try that this New Year's, that instead of I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, I'll set the goal that I'm going to be a fit human being, and I'll be able to evidence that with these markers. And then I'll have different ways that I can achieve that. I can go for walks, I can go to the gym, I can whatever it is. So I don't know if that makes sense, but
it totally does.
I'm thinking about maybe shifting my approach this year.
Yeah. It's funny because I've thought about that same stuff a lot. Like even the way you kind of described time, I've thought about that. Like, and the way I've thought about it is very similar to the way you described it. And how I've kind of said it in the past is it's almost like rather than being on a timeline, you know, like you said before, it's more that we're just kind of in this constant state of progression.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes regression, but yeah, Hopefully progression. And I think, and it's funny because kind of tying it into the it's done side, sometimes we can embody those things right now.
Right.
And
from that sense, it is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if, so yeah, say using your example, you know, I want to be fit. I want to be a fit guy. And here's all the things that this comes with.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we want those things by having faith, you know what? It's done.
Yeah.
I am this. And it's kind of funny because kind of with like the power of the atonement, we can become those things.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've even seen in my own life when I do have these goals that I want to reach, I'm kind of magically put into situations where, okay, you got to be this now, you know? And it's funny because I think my limited self-doubting brain wants to go into the, oh, this is too big for me. I'm not prepared for this much change. Right. You know, I can't live up to this expectation that I've set for myself. Like even at work, I'll find little thoughts creep in of like it's almost like my brain falls back 5 years in the past and kind of looks through my current eyes and being like, oh my gosh, what have I gotten myself into, you know? Exactly. But it's like, no, like I can handle this.
You got it.
It this is done. I know that because, you know, Christ has me because of the power of the atonement, I know I don't have to worry about this and I can handle anything that comes my way. And it's cool. So we can, it's almost like we can jump ahead.
Yeah.
Like we don't have to wait to be that person.
Right.
We can start being that person. And then we just need to remember, I'm just not going to doubt that anymore. You know,
right.
This year I'm going to be this guy and this is me. And yeah, just allow it to happen.
Yeah. And that's going to fit in really nicely with what we talk about next week with the, what we're going to become in 2025. So I love that. And so it is done. I'm a fit person and I'm just waiting for my body markers to reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. A few more pounds and I'll be good.
Locked
so take it. Us home, Brett. What did ChatGPT teach you about you?
Oh, let's see. I haven't even read it. I punched it in. Okay. So it gave me also 10 things.
Okay.
And yeah, I said, what are some things you gathered about me, things that I'm good at that I might not be aware of? And yeah, based on our conversations, empathy and nurturing leadership.
Oh, nice.
That's interesting.
Powerful.
Yeah. Creativity and artistic vision.
I like it.
Emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Visionary and strategic thinking.
I can see that.
Resilience and self-awareness.
Ooh.
Effective communication.
Uh-huh.
Attention to atmosphere and detail.
Nice.
Mentorship and guidance. Authenticity and integrity.
I love it.
And adaptability and problem solving.
Any surprises in there?
I would say I think the more surprising ones were the leadership. Let's see. Yeah, I think when it talked about leadership and mentorship, mm-hmm. I thought those were both really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like I've definitely been trying to build myself as a leader,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it's surprising. Mentorship and guidance. I never would have put a lot of thought toward that. So that's interesting.
So I think what I would suggest, my invitation to you
mm-hmm.
is lean into that. And so it may not be fully developed where you're super comfortable with it yet, but as you find opportunities, first of all, I think you're going to start to notice those moments when you're demonstrating leadership and mentorship. And so just start building that evidence for yourself. And number two, when you find opportunities to be a leader, to be a mentor, take them because ChatGPT says you're good at it.
Yeah.
I think that that's, and I think that, that you'll find your groove. You'll find whatever that looks like. You'll find something that, that, fits really well. It's going to be comfortable, and it's going to be, it's going to let you be a more robust version of you. So I love that. So, ChatGPT is our friend. I love it.
It is. Yeah. Challenge accepted.
So we've got some things to think about for 2025 and goals, and I think it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, I agree.
Looking forward to it.
Really interested to see what happens this year.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. We want to hear how to make the podcast better for you, so please let us know at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. That's ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?